Bible to choose from. If you ever have a need of sharing anything, open the Bible. Of course, I get that. And I have lots of messages and Bible studies I couldn't count that I could pull from. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says do that. But this time, I just knew that there was something specific, and I just wasn't hearing yet, or he wasn't speaking it yet. Well, what do you know? The morning of the event arrived. And I'm like, God, I'm okay at this point not saying anything. I'm cool with that. But why do I just know deep in my soul you've got a special word that's timely and for today? And then something pretty special happened. 30 minutes before all the women showed up to carpool, I'm looking in the mirror trying to get ready, and suddenly God's longing to pour out his heart filled me, and images, at the same time as that happened, images of the women's faces were just flashing before my mind. As this transpired, God just flooded my soul with his message for the women and for me. And I believe for you, for us today. So I'm going to share that word. It's about 4 or 5 minutes, but then it'll be coupled with a testimony of God's radical confirmation that's going to blow you away, concluding with somewhat of a call to action for all of us and a special prayer for the moms. So we're just going to dive right in. Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." Consider what the second half of that verse says. He will beautify the humble with salvation. I don't know about you, but I think the word beautify is, well, beautiful. I mean, it's the word beautiful, but it's a verb. And I just think that's really cool. God does this work. He beautifies. Great. So what does that mean? Well, the word beautify comes from the Hebrew word pa'ar. And this word means to adorn, to embellish, to gleam, give glory to, make boast of, and make beautiful. So, God beautifies. What does God adorn, bring glory to, and boast of? The humble. To be humble is to be lowly and meek, not weak, but strong in your position of laying down flat before God, your position of humility before the Lord, acknowledging that he is God and we are not, admitting that we need a Savior yet again today to save us from our thoughts, to rescue us from ourselves, to help us past our wrongdoings, to give us strength to forgive and be forgiven, to deliver us from the lies we believe. Being humble is being honest with God about our need for him. And this word even means affliction. Yes, in our afflictions, we lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, trusting him with it all for yet another day. So I believe the Lord would ask us today, is this your position before the Lord? If so, he's going to bring that to you. He's going to bring glory to you. He's going to adorn you and embellish you. And another translation says, this word is crown. He will crown you. Well, what will he crown you with? With salvation. In Psalm 149, it says, God will beautify the humble, crown us with salvation. Now, what does that word salvation mean? The Hebrew word where it comes from is spelled Y-S-U-A. Would you like to know the pronunciation of that? It's Yeshua. Yes, you heard that correctly. The word salvation in Psalm 149:4 comes from the word Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus. If Jesus is Yeshua, which he is, and Yeshua is salvation, which it is, then Jesus is salvation. Jesus is our crown. But wait, we haven't talked about that definition yet. Look at that carefully and get ready to swoon. This glorious word, Yeshua, means salvation, deliverance, healing, health, help, prosperity, victory. Are you grasping this? Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, not only grants us salvation, he is salvation. He not only brings deliverance, he is deliverance. He not only gives you healing, he is healing. He is health. He doesn't only bring us help and prosperity, he is help. He is prosperity, and he is victory. This is a game changer. God grants all of this. Salvation, deliverance, healing, health, help, prosperity, victory to the humble. And it's given to us in Yeshua, Christ Jesus. Yes, he is the one who was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he turns around and he crowns us in our humble, lowly state with gleaming glory. What kind of love is that? It's God's love. I find it intriguing that one of the definitions of beautify is to boast of. Is it possible that God literally boasts of those on the earth who have humbled themselves before him? In a pure and righteous and holy way, almost the way he did with Job. Wow, everybody in the whole heavenly host, look at that one. In all the earth, that one's humbling himself, herself before me today. I believe the Bible even indicates that the angels are more aware of the pride of humanity than we are. Now, at this point, it's important to clarify. I know it's Mother's Day. Yes, we're doting on the women today. But it's important to clarify that while beauty is typically a word connected to women, and men, it's more handsome, you know, and strength and all that. The word here in Psalm 149 is for everybody, male or female. The word of God is to speak to all of us today. And when God says that he beautifies the humble with salvation, he's speaking to both men and women. But hang in there, guys. Because God's beautification isn't about pretty. That's what we think. And women, yes, by the way, the more humble we are, the more we wear it on the outside. And I do believe it brings more prettiness in the sense that our earthly word beauty is. But we're using a word beautify in English that captures something that supersedes what we have in our minds. We aren't just talking about something temporary. Ladies, you put the makeup on, take it off. Temporary. Good hair day, bad hair day. Temporary. Guys, you got the hair that's not gray? Now gray. Temporary. Everything here on earth is temporary. The beauty, the handsomeness, it fades, but God's doesn't. The beautification that God brings is like an imprint. It's a holy engravement. It's a permanent mark of his glory that he shares with his people in whom he takes pleasure. And all this he does ends up pointing right back to him, doesn't it? Because the one who's humbled themselves before the Lord can't help but glorify God in return. So remember, Yeshua is Jesus. That's why we want this beautification. Because that beautification is Christ himself. So, to summarize this moment, this part, Psalm 149, verse 4 says, God takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with Yeshua. Now, it appears the key to acquiring this glorious adornment is our decision to humble ourselves, isn't it? I mean, after all, it's the humble that he beautifies. To the big question of the day, how do I do this? How do we literally walk forward hour by hour in an attitude of humility? As God's people in whom he takes pleasure. Well, maybe testifying of what happened after the shopping party will give us a hint. Check out what God did after we finished the event that day. After sharing a brief version of this message to the ladies during the lunch, we all headed back home. I was driving the church van, and I had about five others with me. As we approached a stoplight, Tiffany called out and pointed. She goes, "You guys, look! Look at the sign that man is holding on the side of the street." I turned and looked, and there was a man with a sign that said, "Hello, gorgeous. I am speechless. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance." Okay, it's a little blurry, but that's what it says. And thank you, Tiffany, for getting it, because we're all like, "Don't let him see you taking a picture of him. That's like creepy." She's like, "I'm sitting behind you. I've got it. I've got it, Leon." I'm like, "Thank you. You've got it, right?" She's like, "Yes." There it is. "Hello, gorgeous. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance." How does God do this stuff? It doesn't end there. You know, all of us have passed through that intersection countless times. It's right up there, Prospect and something up there. There are lots of people standing on the street corner. Never saw that sign before. But what a delightful echo of the message, the heart of God that had just been expressed within the hour prior to that picture. And what a sweet way for God to follow our faith with a sign. It's okay that God can speak through circumstances. Look all throughout the Bible. He speaks through signs. He does. But he does say it's the wicked and perverse generation that follows after the sign. In the opposite of that is what we want to do. He follows those who believe him with signs and wonders. Praise God. So I promised you it went on. There's more. A few days later, I couldn't shake the prompting of this little, you know, the 3 to 4 minute version of what I've shared with you already, to record it as a video and put it on my YouTube channel. Immediately upon finishing that recording, it was a Tuesday morning, I think, I had to run some errands. So as I approached the front door to a store that I had to visit where I hadn't been for like a year, I was in awe of the sign on the door. Here it is. The door said, "Hey, beautiful, come on in." It's like a divine exclamation mark for this timely word of beautification for God's people in whom he takes pleasure. A wonderful picture of God's personal invitation for us to open that door and to come on in by humbling ourselves. So what if the key to humbling ourselves is to just come on in with Jesus? He says, "Hey, beautiful, hey, handsome, come on in." And we reply by opening the door and walking in. Okay, so Liana, what does that look like? What's that look like? Well, moms, dads, we don't know how to handle a situation with a child. So we humble ourselves, we open our mouths, and we talk to God about it. We need to make a decision about the summer, and it's too much to figure out. I can't see how it's going to work on the calendar. Stop. Humble yourself. Come on in. Ask Jesus to help. Ask Jesus to schedule your family calendar. Grandparents, you're concerned for the future of your grandchildren. Come on in with Jesus. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop asking him on their behalf. Youth, teens, Jesus says to you right now, come on in, build relationship with me by talking with me. Tell me your stress. Tell me your anxiety. Open your mouth, humble yourself, and tell him about your fears and your stresses. And children, Jesus says, come on in. Welcome him into your playtime. He's there. Connect with him. Open the door and come on in. Pray to him and tell God how thankful you are for all the things he's given you again today. To all of us, I think he's saying, come on in. Do we need to be saved from anything? Probably most of us can raise our hands. Well, come to Yeshua. Do you need deliverance? Talk to him about it. Humble yourself. Do you need healing and health? Entrust it to him. Speak the word of God over your body every day. Find a scripture that speaks about the issue you're wrestling with. It's in the Bible. Speak it. He is the word. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Yeshua. He is salvation. Entrust it to the Lord and wait and persist. Do you need prosperity? Victory? Jesus says, I am all that and more. Come on in. It is my pleasure to make your acquaintance. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with them and they with me. There's an amazing thing that happens when we respond to God's calling to come in. When we respond, he comes in, but he's telling us to come on in to relationship with him. And so there's this beautiful, interactive relationship, friendship. We can't have that without both parties interacting and dining together, communing together, talking together. He comes in and he helps us with all our need when we humble ourselves and come to him. So before we close in prayer, I would be remiss to overlook the context of Psalm 149:4 that we've been talking about. There are so many verses that talk about how to be humble. In the Bible, I'd encourage you, just do the women on Thursday nights, we've been doing all our word studies, it's been so fun. Just do a quick scripture search through the concordance, and you can find lots of verses about how to humble ourselves before the Lord, and I encourage you to do that. But let's look specifically at Psalm 149. What happens is the verse we've looked at today, where God says he takes pleasure in his people and he will beautify the humble with salvation, it's couched by verses before and verses after, all about praising God. The whole context is praising God. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. We just did it. When you gather here on Sundays, we are doing the word. We are gathering together with the saints and praising God. It says, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise him with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and harp. So we're gathering together or at home on your own, praising God and singing. Singing a new song. There's been an amazing new song that just hit the radio. Love it. I can't stop listening to it. Sing to God. Sing to him. Today is an overflow of whatever you did all week. Whatever worship you gave the Lord all last week is what you are overflowing in church. Yes, we're getting fed here, yes. But if we're getting fed every day in the presence of the Lord, we come on Sunday. I mean, you don't have to hold anything back. So there are these verses about praising God, and suddenly right in the middle it says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. And then the last verse here in this section says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Now, I wouldn't suggest to the spouses at 3 a.m. when you can't get any sleep to sing aloud on your bed. You might wake up your spouse. But I find that beautiful again. Because right in the middle of the people of God praising him both corporately and privately, right in the middle is God taking pleasure in his people, beautifying the humble with salvation. I don't think we can genuinely praise God from the heart if we're not coming before him with a humble attitude. A pastor in Texas shared a testimony about his mom. I'll never forget it. It was years back when we lived there. His mom loved the Lord, just studied the Bible, scripture. She wasn't, you know, stuck in like a religious works thing. She genuinely loved the Lord, but she was still stuck in an addiction, and she wanted so desperately to be set free. What was her addiction? She couldn't stop smoking. She wanted so badly to stop, but her body craved it, and it was just, she was in that space where she wasn't yet walking in freedom. But you know what? She believed what the Word of God said. She knew Yeshua, who saves her and delivers her and heals her and helps her. Do you know what she did? She humbled herself before the Lord. She came on in, and in her affliction, she bowed herself before the Lord and committed to something. She said, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you every day. I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to lift my hands up to you. I'm going to let you know that I trust you. And I know what your word says. I'm going to praise you till this is gone. Doesn't mean she wasn't doing her part. She got up off the couch and did her best to try and not keep, you know, giving in to the temptations. But she needed the Lord to help her. And guess what happened? One day, she woke up. And that was the day she never touched a cigarette again. And not only that, but she didn't want to. As she humbled herself and she came on in, Jesus, who humbled himself on a cross and died for us, for everything we're talking about, and rose again, put a crown on that woman's head, imparted his glory to her. Yeshua came in. And he did something that a human was not able to do on her own. That's beautiful. Let's pray. Let's pray. Will you bow with me? Yeshua, come and do it again. Do it again. Guaranteed, hands down, we've got lots of us in here that can't get rid of something in our lives. We try, we're working hard, then we give up for a while, and we pray again, then we stop praying about it, and other things crowd in. God, we need you. We need you, Yeshua. But God, you tell us we need to humble ourselves. If we're going to stay in a prideful position, it's like a blockade. It's not that you can't do anything, and you can, by the way, but you call us to humble ourselves, and you promise that you will beautify us when we do, and you'll beautify us with Yeshua. So Yeshua, Jesus, we pray right now in your name that you would go into the parts of our souls that we can't reach on our own. Fill the crevices with your glory. Fill the dark places with your light. Take out what the enemy has kept there for years, and maybe for years we've agreed with it and haven't really done anything about it anyway. Forgive us, God. Reach in and yank it out today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, pour out your living waters with refreshing revival right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. And you know what? I praise you. I thank you that you just did that. I praise you that you've done it. I praise you. I praise you here with the assembly of the saints. I rejoice in the Lord our Maker. Right now I'm doing your word, Lord. I'm joyful in my King right now. I praise you. Yes, O saints, be joyful in glory right now, because the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify you as you humble yourself. He will beautify you with salvation. And so, Lord, I want to close in prayer for specifically for the moms, Lord. God, I know also in a crowd this big, there have to be moms who don't really feel like celebrating today. Some may be estranged from their children. Some kids, some grown kids, some of us adults may feel abandoned and forgotten by our parents. The word of God says, when my mother and father abandon me, then the Lord will take care of me. Let Yeshua be your salvation. No human being. God, fill our voids. I pray for the aching hearts today. So many have lost their mothers. Maybe when they were an old age, maybe when they were too young, Lord. It doesn't change the fact that they're gone, and I pray in Jesus' name you would bring your comfort. Yeshua, bring your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. I pray you'd replace the weeping with tears of joy, memories that bring a smile on our faces. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some have lost a child. Maybe sometimes hearing the phrase Mother's Day or seeing the flowers can leave an ache that can't seem to fade. Well, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Yeshua, fill that void. Fill it right now in Jesus' name. God, you want us to trust you. You want us to take you at your word. I'm taking you at your word. And I thank you, your word says, as testified through David, that any lost child we will see again in heaven. We will. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Lord, I just pray for the women who are in a beautiful season of motherhood, and I thank you for that. We can all come alongside, both the celebrating and the aching, and say thank you, Lord. God, bring them more blessings. Fill the joy up with more joy. We love those seasons of simplicity and laughter. And I pray for them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for granting them joy and happiness. Bless them with more. Bless them with more. Thank you, Lord. So wherever we are, God, each of us right now, in your hearts, please pray with me and agree with me in Jesus' name. Tell the Lord that you will come on in. You're done holding back. Fling the door open. He's knocking. Behold, whoever hears Jesus' voice right now and opens that door, he will come in and he will eat with you. He's going to sit and eat a meal. I mean, come on. How awesome is God? He loves to eat with us. Invite him into your meals, please. Lord, wherever we are, each of us right now, men, women, children, Lord, we come on in. Wherever we are in our relationship with you, we decide right now to take a deeper step closer to you, committing to just open our mouths, just humble ourselves, open our mouths, and start talking with you. And then praise you until that deliverance comes. Praise you until Yeshua is all that's left inside of our souls. And when we do, we let you in. And when we let you in, this glorious thing happens. You come in to those parts of our souls. God, we don't want to look back and regret not having invited you into our empty spaces. So come on in. Thank you again for every mom here today. May they feel your love right now like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.